The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
As for a talk today, I would like to talk about breathing. Breathing. Some of you breathe regularly. And I have been meditating on my breath, being mindful of breathing, for almost 40 years now. That's a long time. And it's been a really important part of my life, that this breathing of mine. It's been a wonderful companion, a wonderful help, a support for me. It's been a refuge for me. It's been very meaningful for me to spend so much of my adult life paying attention to my breathing. And after 40 years, you'd think that I'd gotten bored. It's a long time. Not much goes on. Breathing goes in, out. But I actually find it more and more interesting the longer I do it. Partly because the benefits I receive from tuning into my breath, being my breath, just keeps growing with time. And so I wanted to share with you a little bit some of the benefits I felt from tuning into my breath, paying attention to my breath, centering myself on my breathing. One of the first things that occurs to me is that the breathing is a very simple process for the body, the diaphragm contracting, making more space in the torso for air to go in. The rib cage expands, stomach goes out, and the air goes in, then the opposite happens and the air goes out. And there's a rhythm to a very simple process, physical, physiological process, that is, because it's physical and physiological, it's not a story, and it's not a concept, and it's not about the past, it's not about the future. Breathing only happens in the present. You don't say, I'm going to get around to breathing, you know, next week. You know, breathing, if you're aware of your breathing, you're aware of the present moment. And what I found so many times is that by turning into my breath and paying attention to it, it cuts through a fair amount of nonsense that my mind is involved in. It cuts through some of the ways my mind is caught up or attached. Some of the times that I've been anxious, some of the times I've been caught in aversion or anger, sometimes caught in greed and wanting things to be a certain way. That usually those kinds of caught-upness have to do with stories and concepts and ideas my mind kind of spins out and wonders. And sometimes it's like a maze that there's no way out. If I'm in certain kind of thoughts, and I'm trying to figure things out, and figure out my life or figure out how to deal with this relationship or that or this, sometimes, you know, there's no way out, really. But you can cut the Gordian knot. You can just kind of step out of it. At least I can sometimes. And I find that just tuning into my breathing is a wonderful antidote to being caught up. It's like stepping away. It's like tuning into something else. And it cuts through, to some degree, my preoccupation, what I'm caught in. And it gives me a different perspective. It shows me that more is going on than what I'm thinking about. So I find that simple act of tuning into my breath a great support for me from, you know, not being so caught up. It kind of cuts through. Related to that is that it also protects me. It protects me from the nonsense that my mind is capable of. So my mind can go wandering off and thinking about something. But if I've tuned into my breath and staying with my breath, I'm less likely to wander off into the thoughts that arise. I might think a thought, but because I'm a little bit focusing on my breath, I have more choice about should I follow that thought or should I not. And I said, you know, I don't have to. So I'm protected from some of the feelings, some of the impulses, some of the intentions when I'm kind of centered, focusing on my breath, I find the breath is a safe place for me to be. And occasionally, it's good for me to be safe. And where I'm safe from is me in that situation, right? I mean, maybe you are all safe to each other, to yourself. But the general idea in Buddhism is that the person you have the most to fear is yourself. And it might be a little bit challenging to hear that, especially in many terrible situations people are in. But the person you have the most responsibility over protecting yourself from is yourself. And the attachments, the clinging, the aversions, the all the kind of contortions and contractions and that the mind, the heart can make. And so being with the breath, I find sometimes is a protection. Sometimes if I'm really well centered on the breath, the image I have of myself is kind of like that of a boat going through the water. And the bow of the boat just plows through the water, and the water rushes or washes or falls off to the side of the boat and back to the wake. And the boat just keeps going. Sometimes with my breathing, it feels that way. I'm just staying with the breath. I'm keeping the course, and thoughts and feelings might come up, but I'm not going to pick them up. I'm just going to let them. I'm not going to push them away either. Exactly. I'm just going to let them kind of just fall away by themselves. Or another image that I've given to students sometimes is: imagine that your breathing is like an umbrella, and your thoughts are like the rain, and you just keep your umbrella up and open, and let just imagine all the thoughts and emotions and all the other stuff that might pull you away, just kind of wash off. So it's a protection from those things, from getting involved. And so the more you can stay with your breath, the more you're protected from getting involved in things. Now, some things your mind wants to get involved in are quite nice to be involved in, maybe useful and need to be involved in. So please, if you need to, it's important. But it's really good to have the ability to say, no, thank you. I don't have to pick that up. I don't have to get involved with that. And I found for me that there's a kind of power that comes from being able to stay on the breath that supports that choice that I have. So I don't have to get involved in some of the various funny things my mind can come up with. Related to that also now is staying with my breath, keeping my attention focused on the breath, is a way of me leaving myself alone. And this I find very helpful. Because I could be trying to fix myself, I could be trying to judge myself, I could be trying to have commentary about what's going on, I could be trying to resist something, I can try to be holding on to something. There's all these things I can do that somehow or other interfere with the natural unfolding of what's happening in the present moment. And sometimes it's a beautiful thing to get involved and shift things and change things, but I find that there's something very profound for me that happens when I get out of the way and don't do much at all. And meditation for me is one of those places where I try to mostly get out of my own way and don't try to do a lot. I don't try to fix anything. I don't try to solve anything. I just try to let what's there kind of be. And some things just fall off the side of the boat, just kind of fall away. And some things, aren't that, fall away so easily. But some things just need to be left alone so they can settle. Some things need to be left alone so they can be resolved. Some things need to be left alone so they can be seen more clearly. And I have been amazed in my 40 years of meditation practice, the wisdom that my inner life seems to have when I get kind of quiet and leave myself alone, where I'm not trying to control or judge or expect or need to have something happen. In that space of just peaceful allowing, without being caught, without picking anything up and getting involved, there seems to be an inner knowing or inner processing, inner wisdom that allows things to unfold in what seems to me, I've seen over 40 years of watching myself, to be very wise, very meaningful. There are times when I've had strong emotions that were difficult, and it was just simply quietly being with my breath, leaving the emotions alone, not judging it, not judging myself for having them, that something began to kind of shift and change around them that couldn't have happened if I was trying in there to kind of fix it, make it better. Just leave it alone and let something know what to do. Sometimes I've been surprised that the emotions or the issues that are there take unusual routes, different than what I thought was supposed to happen. So, for example, sometimes you have a little emotion, like maybe I'm irritated, and I've been surprised that as I allowed for it to be there, it grew into anger. So conventionally, you might think, well, that's a mistake. Something is wrong. But I've learned to trust situation of meditation. Trust what arises and how it unfolds. There's a wisdom, there's a knowing, there's an unfolding that is very meaningful. And if it gets stronger, like anger, it probably for good reason. And let it take its course and see what happens. The course is good if I leave it alone. And this, over and over again, I've seen this. So I find that focusing on the breath, for the most part for me, is a way of leaving myself alone. The breath is a simple phenomena. I'm always breathing. I just tune into it. I keep my mind concerned with my breathing rather than concerned with, you fill in the blank, you know, whatever you're concerned with. And usually what people are concerned with, it doesn't have to do with the present moment. And usually the way we're concerned, even if we are concerned about the present moment, the way we're concerned is usually not so neutral or equanimous. We're often in reactive mode to it. And so to learn how to tune into the breath and let the energy of attention just simply be with breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. And see if you can let that experience of breathing in and breathing out fill your perception, field of perception, fill your awareness as much as you can. Because the more the experience of breathing fills your perception, the less space there is in your perception for your anxiety and your neurosis or your attachments or other things that you're doing. learning to focus on the breathing has these benefits. Now, it takes a while to do. And what I found also in my 40 years of meditation, that it has not been a linear path for me of being not so able to do it and smoothly sailing better and better, 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 just a straight curve. It's been all over. You know, there have been times where I've gotten very concentrated and very still and can really stay with the breath. Other times where my mind is much more busy and anxious and chattery and whatever, and I can hardly be with my breath at all. I try to meditate the morning before my son was born, my first son. I wasn't able to focus my breath very well that day. There were other concerns were quite strong that day. It was reasonable, right? And I'd already been meditating for, 25 years at that time, by that time or so, a long time. So it's gone up and down for me over time and for many different reasons. And I find that also in the course of a month that my ability to stay focused on the breath goes up and down over time because of the different things that goes on. Some days I can sit down and I can stay with my breath really easily. And other days it might take me 30 minutes before I really start getting connected to my breathing because, you know, how I've been living my life, the activity, who knows all the things, why it is. I don't worry so much about how well I'm doing the breath meditation. That's one of the benefits of doing it so long. But I just do my best. I come back and try it again, come back. And so a lot of breath meditation involves just coming back. And every time, I believe, every time you come back from, you wander off in thought, you're concerned with thinking, but there's often a lot of momentum. There's a lot of habit energy in the mind to think about concerns. And that habit energy has been reinforced for a lifetime. Every time that you let go of your preoccupation and come back to your breathing, you weaken the habit. And you weaken the habit much faster than you built up the habit. Though it doesn't seem that way, because it's imperceptible how slow it is. But just imagine, you know, I mean, you've been giving your mind a free rein to be preoccupied for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, just, you know, all your waking hours, who knows, maybe even your dreams, you know, you free rein to do whatever you want. And you spend, you know, 45 minutes in meditation every day, if you do that long. The ratio of how many hours you spent mindless and how many hours you're trying to come back to be your breath, the ratio is, you know, is phenomenally different. Even so, in those 45-minute meditation, every time you come back, you weaken the habit energy to some degree. And you'll feel, over time, the difference. It'll change. You'll actually get more and more capable overall, in a general trend, with ups and downs, that you're able, probably you're able to stay more focused on the breath more and more over time. So I think that it's actually very efficient, even though if you don't do that math of comparing how many hours you've been mindless and how many times you're mindless, it might seem like this is going really slow. But the math is in your favor. So a lot of it is just coming back. It's also then about centering oneself on the breath. So not just coming back and being with the breath, but then hanging in there with it. Some people are very good at the movement of coming back and being with the breath for a moment, but then the mind wanders off very quickly. Partly because there's no commitment to stay and hang out. I know for a while, for me, I thought I had done my meditator's duty by simply letting go of my thoughts and coming back to the breath. It didn't occur to me that I had to stay there. I'd done my work, so I relaxed. And if I relax, then the mind wanders off again. Relax to hear what I mean by relax is kind of let down my guard, stop doing the practice. And so for me, it was a very important thing in doing this meditation practice to learn the art of sustaining the attention on the breath, hanging in there, resting with it, coasting with it, being massaged by it, hanging out with the experience of breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out. And one of the things that I learned, the more I could do that, and I learned this pretty early on, you know, in small degrees, is that hanging in there and staying with the breath is relaxing. It relaxes. It relaxes partly because your habit energy, your perception, your energy of attention is not being used to feed our preoccupations, anxieties, neurosis. It's feeding, focusing on the breath. We're not reinforcing things that are stressful. We're actually taking the energy away from stressful activities of the mind, and so the mind has a chance to relax. As the mind relaxes, the body relaxes. And so the ability to sustain the attention of our breath with the breath is pretty relaxing. And most people know that. One of the interventions for people having a panic attack is to breathe deeply for a while. My first interview with a Buddhist teacher, formal interview with a Zen master. I went to see one-on-one in this small room. I was pretty young, my early 20s. I was really intimidated by this great authority figure. And I was just a little punk. I was so intimidated or scared that I couldn't speak. And so the Zen master, you know, after a little while, he realized what was going on. He said, "Gil, breathe deeply. Breathe deeply so you can relax." So this idea of, you know, so sometimes breathing deeply, but sometimes just breathing mindfully, consciously can be a great help. Or my friend, I was living at the Zen Center, and I had a friend there who was doing some work on the roof, and he fell off the roof and broke his arm. So they called the paramedics, and the fire department came first. And he was laying on the ground with his broken arm, I think it was. And he was in pain. And so the fire department came, and they saw him laying there. And the first thing they said to him was, "Breathe." And he rolled his eyes. You know, he'd been a Zen student for years and years. That's what he did. He breathed. He breathed. And I think he had been breathing, laying there. I think one of the funny, humorous little bit. How many times yoga teachers will say, remember to breathe? You know, do we forget? Because sometimes in yoga postures, people hold their breath, or they breathe very shallowly, and it's not very helpful for yoga to hold your breath or breathe shallowly. So it's helpful actually to have this relaxed breath. So as we begin tuning into the breath and hang out with it over time, it helps relax. And some of that happens, relaxation happens, because we begin to understand how we're breathing. The breathing is a very fluid, flexible, changing phenomenon. How we breathe is connected. Breathing is at the juncture, at the meeting point of many different physical, psychological, emotional forces in ourselves, and probably environmental as well, things around us. And how much we breathe, how strongly we breathe, how deeply, how shallowly, how quickly. And what parts of our musculature get active as we breathe, what doesn't get active, what gets held as we breathe. It's all related to so many different issues happening within us. And so as we begin tuning into the breath and hanging out with us, it gives a chance for you to discover how you're breathing. Are you breathing in a relaxed way? Or are you a little tense? Are you holding your breath? Are you breathing mostly from your chest? Or are you holding your chest? Are you holding your belly in when you breathe? Or is your belly relaxed and hanging forward? Is it uncomfortable part of your breath? Or is it comfortable? Do you breathe out all the way? Or do you not breathe out all the way? The more still and quiet you get to watch and see what's going on with the breath, you can start noticing how you're breathing. Just the act of noticing it is very meaningful, I've found. Because mindful awareness of what is often allows what is to change. I like to think of it as kind of like mindfulness gives breathing room to our experience. And so we have room, things have room to unwind, to unfold, to expand, to do what they need to do. And what better things to give breathing room for than to your breathing? And so often we don't give ourselves that much room to breathe, because we're caught up. And even you can just say, try this. I don't know if you're a little bit like me. If you find yourself driving on the freeway one day and you're late, and there's a lot of traffic, and you need to hurry, and you are hurrying to get there, check your breathing and see what's going on. Or maybe, don't do this exercise because I tell you, just when you happen to be that way. I remember once when I was a graduate student, I went all the way over to Berkeley to get a special book for my doctoral work. A rare, difficult to get book. And somehow the catalog or something, computer said, they had it somewhere in the back office or something. And I really needed it, and I needed to get it quickly. And I don't know what was going on with me. I don't remember, so long ago. But I really wanted it. And the guy was behind the desk. No, we don't have it. Nothing doing. And so I was kind of engaged to try to get this book. And so finally, someone else walked by and noticed this conversation and said, "Wait a minute, I'm going to go check back there." So when someone was going to actually check. Then, only then, that I stopped being preoccupied with my tremendous need and trying to get something, and turned my attention to see what was happening here with me. And to my surprise, only then did I discover that I was leaning across the table, kind of the counter, on my tippy toes, leaning out across, it's kind of a tense way of being, and I was holding my breath. As soon as I could see that, I didn't have to really even do anything. I just, the system relaxes. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. Just the awareness of what's happening allows something to relax. Let go. We just give up. We give up from what we have been doing, and we just stop doing it, and something relaxes. By just being mindfully aware of how the breathing is, sometimes my breathing is uncomfortable. I've been living, it's kind of maybe a little bit fast, doing too much. And so sometimes I'm a little bit tense in my front of my rib cage, a little bit held in or pressed in here. And so the habit of maybe a few hours of being this way, I can feel a little bit this kind of pushing in here, this tightness here. And I can't just tell myself to relax quickly. I can't just like, okay, let's relax. But what I do is I just hold the discomfort, slight discomfort, in awareness, in mindful awareness. And because I hold it in awareness, I give breathing room to that feeling. And so then in that, it's as if then it has a chance to relax on its own, in its own good time. But I feel like I need to be present for the discomfort to slowly begin to unravel. So the ability to hang out with the breath, we begin discovering what our breath is like. You might be surprised how much information your breathing will give you about how you're reacting, how you're responding to the life around you. And it might be the first early warning sign that you're caught, that you're how you're feeling. Many times, it's in fact what goes on with my breathing that has been the first indication to me, Gil, pay attention more carefully what's going on for you right now. I think you've gotten a little bit too caught in what's happening, because I feel a shift and change in my diaphragm, in my belly, in different places I breathe. Partly I do this because of how much time I spent in my breathing. It's kind of second nature for me to notice my breathing. And I feel that's one of the benefits from all these years of focusing on breath. It's kind of second nature to notice it, to tune into it, and learn from that experience. The last thing that I'd like to say tonight about how I've benefited from being on the breath, it's kind of connected to the others. And that is that I find the focusing the attention on the breathing is a fantastic way of letting my inner life become still. And the more I focus on the breath and let the breath relax me, settle me, let my preoccupations fall away, no longer be involved in a lot of thoughts and thinking, that not only my mind gets stiller and quieter and calm, but the inner life comes stiller and calm. The body starts feeling calm and still. And there's this delightful, joyous stillness that comes into place. And it's really satisfying. It's very rewarding when this happens. It has a kind of inherent satisfaction to it that's as good as almost any other satisfaction that I know. To have the heart be at peace with itself is a really nice feeling. And I found that sometimes I can just stay and hang with the breath and focus, get still, get centered, and just kind of ride it. And things get really still, very peaceful, very joyous, and quite wonderful. And so rather than getting more and more boring, the longer I stay with the breath, it actually gets more satisfying and more joyous, more peaceful, more kind of wonderful experience of being alive, being present. And it becomes then an important reference point, that joy, that peace, that sense of well-being, for how I go out into my life. And here I'll end with a wonderful exercise. I believe it's wonderful. That if you try it, you might learn a lot about yourself. It'll teach you a lot. Get yourself, for your life, relatively calm, on the calm end of the spectrum of what you're capable of doing, either through meditation or taking a nap, or I don't know what you do to get calm. But get yourself somewhat as calm as you can in your range. And then get up and do what you're going to do with your day, what's next. But as you do that, notice what causes you to give up your relaxed breath. Notice when your relaxed breathing is lost and your breathing is no longer relaxed, now held. And when that happens, stop and look. What just happened? And what was I believing was so important that my breathing had to lock up that way? What was the motivation? What was the concern? What was the emotion that was operating? Now, you might have very important things to do. You can't stop. But if you stop regularly and look, what just happened that I was willing to sacrifice my relaxed breathing, my easy breathing? You'll probably learn a lot. And one of the things you might be able to start doing is questioning the value of sacrificing your relaxed breath. In giving it up, was it to your benefit to give it up? If you realize what you're giving up, is it worth it to give it up? Or is it better to kind of more useful and more beneficial for you and for the world around you, for you to continue to breathe in an easy way? So I offer that as an exercise. And I hope that this evening's talk might have, trying to share a little bit of my experience with the breath, might inspire some of you to spend a little bit more time exploring, focusing on breathing, and discovering what value it might have for you as well. So, thank you.